Yesterday, I did not think it was a good day for LeBron James. When I look back at some of the things that did transpire from that, I thought that it was very big word of the show today, hypocritical of Stephen A. Smith. I mean, of LeBron James, because he was annoyed with some of the unfair coverage that he thought he was getting with Stephen A. Smith. So then you go on a platform like the Pat McAfee Show, which is a mega platform, and then you basically lie and you provide your own unfair coverage. And there's some clips that we'll play back, and we'll get into this, where LeBron talked about a lot of weird energy a few weeks ago with Anthony Edwards, how I could see why he wouldn't want to be the face of the NBA. And I basically took that as, oh, there's like a lot of former players, a lot of people, they talk about how the NBA used to be great and how it's no longer. And then LeBron gets on Pat McAfee's show and basically just trashes the era of the 70s and the 80s and goes, oh, Giannis Antetokounmpo would be able to put up 250 points a game. So I'll tell you, I love LeBron growing up. I remember seeing LeBron his rookie season. I want to say it was Thanksgiving weekend. We were going to a Sunday, my family, we were going to Boston. We were going to a Patriot Ravens game. And that was Tom Brady up against Ray Lewis. And I want to say it was on the Friday night or the Saturday night before the Patriots game. It's pretty cool sports weekend. We got to see the Boston Celtics at TD Garden. I believe they had Antoine Walker and Paul Pierce, and I love Paul Pierce growing up. And we saw them go up against the Cleveland Cavaliers with this megastar in LeBron James, right? The phenom. So I always liked LeBron James. And even when he did the decision, I thought it was tone deaf, but I always acknowledge that even though I thought it was a rotten thing that LeBron did, and that's how he told the Cleveland Cavaliers he was leaving the organization, and it was a disservice to his fans and a lot of people that grew up near him that root for the Cleveland Cavaliers, that night they raised a lot of money for the Boys and Girls Club, which I think, you know, they should not have done it. I know that there were some close to LeBron. I know this for a fact. Pleaded with him, advised him not to do that, but other people that were closer to him that were in his ear said, no, we need to go do this event and make this the decision. But other than that, there really hasn't been a moment recently where you could legitimately be perturbed by LeBron James. Like, left Miami, went back to Cleveland, one of the most memorable sports moments ever, wins that championship, comes on back from down 3-1 up against the Golden State Warriors, leaves after, you know, Cleveland again, goes to the Lakers. People didn't think he would win a championship. He's won a championship. And the Bronny stuff, I've always said this. I have no problem with Bronny being in the NBA. But the Stephen A. Smith confrontation, I thought was unnecessary. And you were trying to put on a show, LeBron, and you did it in the middle of the game. It was the third quarter going into the fourth quarter. And I have someone, not that my dad's LeBron James, but my dad, right, is in this business. So sometimes you will get people that will say ridiculous and unfair things about me. And, you know, that's part of the territory. I don't give a rat's ass. I really don't. But I've always said, like, I wouldn't want my dad responding for me. Like, I'm a grown man. I could respond for myself. I don't think LeBron needed to be holding the hand of Bronny for whatever Stephen A. said about Bronny, which I've listened to it. I didn't think anything crossed the line. And full disclosure, I like Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. Smith, I find him wildly entertaining. Do I agree with all of his opinions? Absolutely not. Do I agree with all of his shtick? Absolutely not. But I think he's more good for sports media than bad for sports media. And he got a boatload of money to do this. And I think the more money people make in sports media, the better. And Stephen A. Smith, right? Not that I know him well, but he came to Temple University once to speak when I was a student, did a 15-minute radio interview with me. You know, we remain in contact. There was one night, I've shared this story before, I was hosting in Philadelphia on WIP. And the security guard, I guess, was a spinning image, a doppelganger, as they call him, of Stephen A. Smith. And there was a fight on the court. And people were like, what's Stephen A. Smith? Who does he think he is breaking up this fight? It was a security guard. And I texted Stephen A. Smith. He had no clue what was going on. He's like, yeah, that's not me. I wouldn't do that. So I understand some things that Stephen A. Smith says you got to take with a grain of salt. You know, I do this job. I'm here 5 days a week, 3 hours in, you know, a day. you know, outside of football season, in football season, I'm on 7 days a week where I give you more shows per week that you end up getting. And I understand people are going to misconstrue what you say. Sometimes I'll give you great takes. Other days I'll get takes wrong. Sometimes you cross the line. And sometimes you don't. Like, we're not all perfect. But this idea that LeBron has been significantly mistreated by Stephen A. Smith, give me a break. Like, LeBron doesn't ever think his you-know-what stinks, all right? And that's what happens when you be called a king for 25 years, is you think no one can really go tug at your crown. Like, what if people really said critically of LeBron James? I could only think of three instances. Four instances. When he left the Cleveland Cavaliers the first time, then when he acted like a pompous ass after he lost the series up against the Mavericks. That, to me, is actually his worst moment. You thought the play on the court was bad up against the Mavericks in the NBA Finals. When LeBron James sat in front of the cameras after that Finals loss to the Mavericks, which is his lowest moment in his career, in my opinion, and basically said, you know, the sun's going to come up tomorrow and everybody else is going to have to go live their own miserable life. I thought that was so weak and just so lame and so gutless of LeBron James. But outside of those moments, like, what, LeBron not giving an opinion or basically telling Daryl Morey to shut up when the whole China issue happened? And then the Bronny stuff. Think about that. LeBron has been in the spotlight for, what, 25 years now? And there's only four moments where there was blowback with LeBron James. Two were to a high degree, the other two not so much. So this idea that LeBron James is treated unfairly, oh, give me a break. Like, I'm still trying to see what Stephen A. said that was that crazy. And I only have one thing, and Stephen A. has apologized for it. And I even said this to Santa before the show. I thought it was weak to say that, oh, he didn't show up to Kobe's memorial service. I always find that weird when I still find it weird when we talk about Kobe. I still can't believe Kobe Bryant's dead, right? So when you're using a point in a beef and you're using someone that's dead, and LeBron also showed up, I guess he just didn't want to be seen on camera, as the story goes. It's like, that to me was low class by Stephen A. But outside of this, I think LeBron James comes off as petty, sensitive, and weak here. And I look at this as more of a win of Stephen A. Now, does Stephen A. ever shut up about this? No. But what I thought was the weakest was Brian Windhorst getting dragged into this. Like, Brian Windhorst has been associated with LeBron James for years. I've never heard Windy say that they're best friends, that they hang out together. And LeBron James basically on national television yesterday and on a national platform stabbed Brian Windhorst in the back, who's been more positive than negative about LeBron, and he's been extremely kind when talking about LeBron. That guy who's been there, you know, back when you were in high school, you stab him in the back? What the heck did Brian Windhorst say? He's never acted like he's your best friend. So LeBron lies, and he thinks just because he says it, and he has these sycophants, obviously, because he has a huge following, he's a great player, second greatest player of all time, that whatever he says is factual. And this is what I know about LeBron James. He'll never say he's wrong. He won't. LeBron James, if you ever question him, you're dead to him, pretty much. So I used to be a big LeBron James fan. I'm kind of tired of LeBron. The last, like, 2 years, I've reached my LeBron fatigue where I can still appreciate his greatness on the court, and he's still great, but he's kind of a phony. He is a phony. And that's disheartening for someone that I used to really enjoy as a kid. So this is LeBron James. We'll play you all this stuff. LeBron James on the beef that he has with Stephen A. Smith. This was yesterday on the Pat McAfee Show.
He's like on a Taylor Swift tour run right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're watching it. Yep. We're awesome. Mm-hmm.
It started off with, I didn't want to address it. I wasn't going to address it. But since the video came out, I feel the need to address it.
Yeah, we're viral. You would have been talking about it.
Are you kidding me? If there's one person that couldn't wait to the video to drop so you could address it, it's your ass. Like, seriously. He completely, like, missed the whole point. The whole point. Never would I ever not allow people to talk about the sport, criticize players about what they do on the court. That is your job. But when you take it and you get personal with it, it's my job to not only protect my damn household, but protect the players. You know, and I think a lot of the media, including him, and I know he's gonna be happy as hell. He's gonna be smiling from ear to ear when he hears me talk. I get home and grab some ice cream out of the freezer and sit in his chair and his tiny whiteies on the couch.
I hope at some point you two get a chance. Yeah, like, but you're
like,
right.
Relax, bro. Like, seriously.
So he's not wrong in terms of Stephen A. has gone on a Taylor Swift tour talking about this, but the irony in that is, LeBron, you literally set up an interview with Pat McAfee to do an hour and 15 minutes on a platform which is also consumed by Stephen A. Smith. And even though I don't view Stephen A. and Pat McAfee as rivals, since they're like the two highest earners, and I guess Greeny too, at ESPN, that people pit each other up against one another, you're literally going on his turf to then talk about this even more. Like, you know this is going to get brought up. You know this is going to generate the most clicks. So that's like the phony level of LeBron. Like, look at me. Stephen A. loves this. All he does is talking about it, and yet you're still talking about it. So that's where I think LeBron also comes off as phony. Now, LeBron, right, was all sensitive about how the NBA is covered and how the old guard is just disrespectful to the new wave of players. Well, listen to LeBron James on the Pat McAfee show, says the current NBA players would dominate in the 70s.
You trying to tell me Giannis wouldn't be able to play an NBA game in the 70s?
I think he wouldn't be able to do it.
Neither would you.
Giannis Antetokounmpo would have 250 points in a game in the 70s. 250.
Is that Cousy? When was Cousy playing? Cousy's locking up Giannis, brother.
He's saying like, 70s, not 50.
And that's no disrespect. Like, it's no disrespect. Oh, but, like, stop. Seriously, like, Kyrie Irving.
They would have called him a witch. They would have called him a witch.
No. They would have told Kyrie, you're not. You know how they used to tell Luau Cinder at the time that he couldn't dunk in high school games? Yeah. They would have told Kyrie, you're not allowed to dribble anymore. Mm-hmm. That's what they would have told him. Dribbling is outruled.
So LeBron is being disrespectful there. Giannis would average 250 a game. Oh, but I'm not being disrespectful. Hand up, because I'm not a hypocrite. That's like when I say I'm about to trash someone. I go, I like this person, but. And then you follow it up with something negative. That's what LeBron James basically just did, except in the reverse way. Oh, let's make a jab at the 70s, but I'm not being disrespectful. My ass. Seriously. Come on, LeBron. Now, this was the lowest one from LeBron. He went after Brian Windhorst. Windy, just mind his own business. All he's been is pretty much positive to LeBron James. And you go after Brian Windhorst? Ridiculous.
I see a lot of shit too. Like, I seen Brian Windhorst on one of these shows not too long ago. Like,
Windy.
You
guys played together in high school.
This guy was like, you know, says he's like my best friend. These guys are just weird.
Yeah. Weird. You know what's weird? LeBron going on this show and dropping like 10,000 F-bombs, right? And trying to make a beef with Brian Windhorst, who has only been good to you. That's weird to me, LeBron. All right, let's go to Stephen A. Smith. You knew there would be a response. Stephen A. Smith did call LeBron James a liar. This was on the Stephen A. Smith show.
Don't the truth matter? Because there's one person in this ordeal that's telling the truth, and it's me. I don't lie to y'all. His ass lies a lot. And there's a lot of shady stuff that he does. And one of the things is his passive aggressiveness and the two-facedness and smile in your face and dig you in behind the back. I happen to know that about him, which is why I don't like him. And he don't like me. But it doesn't stop me from being fair and calling it like I see it. We ain't exchanging Christmas gifts. We ain't having Thanksgiving dinner together. What you bring your son up in there for? What you bring your family up in there before? You gonna go on Pat McAfee show, talk about you gonna protect your house. What you talking about? Your son ain't at the house. He's at Crypto.com Arena. We ain't covering him in Brentwood. We covering him in downtown LA at the Crypto.com Arena where you put him.
Yeah, like that's a great point by Stephen A. What did Stephen A say? Where Bronny was threatened and he's just protecting his house. Like, give me a break. Your son's in the NBA. Your son's a professional athlete. If Stephen A. crossed the line, all right, you could have a confrontation. Let your son fight your own battles, though. His own battles. You don't got to fight your son's battles, too. Just weak. And he's not wrong in the two-face stuff. LeBron tries to be buddy-buddy with everybody. That's honestly my biggest complaint about LeBron. Can we have some rivals? You don't got to love everybody that you go up against. Alrighty, and LeBron tries to love everybody. And it's very phony. Stephen A. Smith defended Brian Windhorst.
I have worked with Brian Windhorst for years. Never once did he say that LeBron was a best friend. A matter of fact, years earlier, it was LeBron who sat in front of the microphones and said, probably nobody knows me better than Brian Windhorst, who's been covering me since I was in junior high school. But that's how he talked about him. Brian Windhorst is an exceptional commentator who does a phenomenal job for ESPN. He is one of the elite people covering the NBA in this world. And nobody, I repeat, nobody defends LeBron James more than that man. And look at what LeBron James did.
That's the funny part. Like, I have said on times on the air before, numerous times, like, oh, Brian Windhorst, like, in a joking but somewhat serious way. Oh, that LeBron James apologist carries the water for LeBron James. And LeBron goes after him? LeBron stabs him in the back? Over what? What has Windhorst said? What has Windhorst acted like? That'd be like, your best friend is only nice to you. You wake up one day, you're like, I just want to deal with him. And Windhorst has not said that he's his best friend. That's just wild to me. It's very douchey by LeBron James. But he's got to create this narrative that everybody's out to get him. Give me a break. Now, this was the biggest joke. Stephen A. Smith said if LeBron would have put hands on him, he immediately would have swung back. Listen up.
That man put his hands on me, I would have immediately swung on him. Immediately.
Remember Stephen A. Smith once when talking about Lamar Odom? He was like, he was on crack. You know, Stephen A. He was on crack there. Like, you're not swinging at LeBron. Say what you want. LeBron would stuff you in a locker. Oh, my God. Here is Brian Windhorst on media versus the players. This was earlier today on the ESPN.
I think there are times when the media is out of balance, and I encourage NBA players to hold the media accountable when they can, as long as they're okay with being held accountable by the media. I think at times our big challenge in really the game in the modern era is to find that balance. When people talk about the game of basketball, they want to talk about the drama. They want to talk about the X and O's, but I'm telling you, if you do a full show that's all X and O's, that's not going to be any good either. But people like the drama, people like the rivalries, and people like looking at why Luka Doncic has trouble defending Tyrese Halliburton. I think there's room for all of it, and there's room to hold each other accountable. But the finger pointing, I don't think that benefits anybody.
That's a good little shot there by Windy. Let's take a shot at the Laker. Good job by Windhorst. So I did a sports minute today, and this is a sports minute. LeBron James against Stephen A. Smith is entertaining, but it's so pointless. LeBron's fake and sensitive gripe with Stephen A. is silly, and we all know Stephen A. Smith was absolutely never going to swing at LeBron James. It was also lame of LeBron to lie about Brian Windhorst, but the sad part is this beef is one of the most entertaining parts of the NBA season, but hey, that's par for the course for the NBA these days. We're not talking about the games. We're talking about LeBron James crying over things that Stephen A. Smith didn't say and how sensitive LeBron James is. And now this has been, what, a week and a half, 2 weeks fight between these two guys? It's wild. It absolutely is. Now, Big Perk, who, by the way, Kendrick Perkins, before he became a big media star, he would come on with us all the time. I haven't heard from Perk in a while. But Big Perk, he calls out LeBron James.
LeBron James needs to stop. He needs to stop. I'm so sick of him with this, oh, how the league is covered, because he wanted to be covered a certain way that he wants it to be covered. See, again, this is what it comes down to with LeBron. And I look, I'm a big LeBron fan. I've been knowing LeBron since 1998, literally, 1998. The problem that I have is, one, everything that comes out of LeBron James' mouth ain't the damn gospel. Number two, we're in 2025. It's a different era. Damn it, you have to adjust. But here's the thing. The coverage of the NBA, in my opinion, has been the same since I've arrived in the NBA, since I grew up as a youngster watching the NBA. Magic Johnson, was he not criticized? Kobe Bryant, was he not criticized? In today's game, these players are so sensitive that it just don't make any damn sense.
Maybe we start calling them sensitive, James. I'm serious. I can't deal with this just sensitivity that LeBron James has. I'll play you one more, then we'll take a break. This was Stephen A. Smith on First Take today. Because if you didn't hear him on the Stephen A. Smith show, obviously you've heard him on First Take. That's the bread and butter. Things he hasn't brought up with LeBron.
I suggest that he be happy with the things that I haven't brought up. I never brought up really and never really discussed why you were not at Kobe Bryant's memorial service. I never really brought up or discussed why you did not attend Dwayne Wade's Hall of Fame induction when that man was directly responsible for you capturing a championship for the first time in your career. I brought up none of that. I didn't bring up the fact that even though when people had asked, you had alluded to what had happened tragically to your son, and thank God he's okay with his heart condition. I didn't bring up the fact that even though you couldn't go to the Hall of Fame induction of Dwayne Wade weeks earlier, you were out of the country on business. I didn't bring that up. That's your personal business. I brought up none of these things. But LeBron James, at the end of the day, wants to come at me, and he's walking around pouting. Why would he be pouting? So much so that you go this route. It's very unfortunate that he has done this. It's very unfortunate that he has tried to ostracize me amongst the NBA community and the sports world and beyond.
That's the only clip where Stephen A. Smith doesn't look good. You don't need to bring up his son when it comes to the heart. And also, if you're going to bring up Kobe Bryant, you got to be right about it. And I don't think we should throw Kobe into this situation. And Stephen A. Smith, since, to be fair, said, my apologies and clarification. I misspoke in hour number one of First Take today when I intimated that LeBron did not attend Kobe's memorial. I corrected myself in hour two when I acknowledged he was indeed in attendance. My mistake. Should not have even broached that subject. It was not my main point. I retract nothing else that I said. Have a nice day. Now, he still got those things wrong. Shouldn't have said that. Issued apology, at least. Where is the LeBron James apology for the way that he just treated Brian Windhorst? Because that should happen. That's a joke. Overall, what a pointless beef between these two. Stephen A. said this. And then Stephen A. just goes back, oh, LeBron is attacking me. Wah! It's like, ugh. You know, we should sit those two down, open up a bottle of wine, get them a steak, and have them hash things out. This is like an episode of Real Housewives of New Jersey, if we're being honest. And I watch a lot of Real Housewives of New Jersey. It's like, this fight is the dumbest fight I've ever seen. So stupid. But, you know, I have issues with LeBron. You know, I like Stephen A. I'm a fan of Stephen A. Do I always think he goes about everything the right way? No. But that's just not going to be the way that we all live life. You're not always going to do things the right way. So I guess we'll leave it at that. Take a timeout. We'll come on back. We'll talk about the Kevin Willard situation next. We know that coaching changes do happen, but they don't need to get nasty here. It's like, I know we talked about Will Wade leaving McNeese to go to NC State, and that came out during the tournament. That came out right before you had McNeese's first round game, and it didn't impact McNeese. Clemson was god awful in the first half. Clemson only had 13 points. But at first, it was like, oh, it's unfortunate that you have Will Wade taking another job, which we all understood him taking that next job and right going on to better pastures and going to a bigger job like at NC State. You just prefer it doesn't come out before the season's over. But with the landscape of NIL and the transfer portal and coaching changes and the coaching carousel, that's just not being realistic. It's like before every year, right, with bowl games, people go, oh, the coach leaves before the bowl game. Oh, you know, the travesty, all that stuff. You just got to be realistic here. But when it comes to the tournament, like at least in NCAA, when it comes to football, I could understand, even though it annoys me, why the transfer portal window is very tough to move around because you have to still get those kids in to be in attendance for, right, spring ball in the spring semester, right, in the winter and spring semester. So, like, I at least understand where the dates are for college basketball, why can't we wait the transfer portal until at the end of next week, like the Monday after the NCAA tournament? That doesn't make sense to me. But anyway, getting back to the Kevin Willard situation, at least Will Wade was as transparent as a coach has ever been on the way out. Like Nick Saban even. Oh, I won't be the coach of Alabama. And then he ends up being the coach of Alabama. So I'll give credit to Will Wade at least where he goes, we all know what's up. Like, we all know what's going on. Some of my players are going to follow me to the next stop. Some won't. This is the sport right now. So I think initially people weren't happy with Will Wade, but then they win and his honesty was also refreshing where it's okay, I'd rather have that than what Kevin Willard's doing right now. It's like, if you want to leave to take the Villanova job, leave to take the Villanova job. It's like, if Mick Cronin wanted to leave UCLA to take the Villanova job, leave to take the Villanova job. If Porter Moser wanted to leave Oklahoma to take the Villanova job, then leave and take the Villanova job. But when you're getting in front of the cameras and you're trashing the NIL of Maryland, you're trashing, right, the structure. And I get it. They just lost their athletic director too. You could be unhappy. You could want to leave, but he's burning the bridge right now. And it really doesn't make sense. And I don't think that this takes away from the players. I don't believe that if Maryland loses tonight, it's because of this Kevin Willard situation. I don't think that's the case. But it's a lot of nonsense where if you're a Maryland fan, you just had this great buzzer beater. You're going into the Sweet 16. You should be excited for it tonight. And even if you lose Kevin Willard, you lose Kevin Willard. But it's all been about the negativity surrounding the athletic department. And you have a university representative, a highly compensated university representative in Kevin Willard coaching this team and just basically trashing the school every single second he gets or making himself out to be a buffoon. It's like, listen to this interaction. So Mike Loxley, the last like football coach, basketball coach fight I can remember was when John Calipari at Kentucky said, oh, hey, we're a basketball school. And Mark Stoops was like, oh, that's disrespectful. And this is when you knew Cal was losing a leg to stand on at Kentucky because Kentucky is a basketball school. I know football, right, makes so much money and all that stuff. But Calipari had to apologize to Mark Stoops. Imagine telling that, you know, 6 years ago to Zach Gelb, hey, you need to apologize, right, the football coach at Kentucky to John Calipari. Like, at Kentucky basketball, where we all know Kentucky is a basketball school. So Mike Loxley is not happy with the way that Kevin Willard is basically just publicly trashing the school's problems. And he was asked about that at one of his press conferences. And listen to what Kevin Willard responded to the question with.
You've been very open the last week about trying to get greater NIL share, revenue share. I'm sure you saw Mike Loxley yesterday said he would prefer to keep some of these issues in-house. Why have you felt like kind of bringing this discussion in the open has been the best way to advocate for your program?
Well, I mean, I'll be honest. I think our biggest thing is we got to stop Clayton. He's really good. He shoots the basketball going left 48%. He shoots it right going at like 38%. So really the last couple of days, trying to come up with a game plan to stop Clayton, because I just think he's one of the best guards in the country that we've seen.
So he's clearly talking about Walter Clayton Jr. and avoiding the conversation. Walter Clayton Jr. was at Iona with Patino, and the last 2 years has been at Florida. That's the problem I have with this. Like, don't have this tough guy energy bashing the school, which some of your claims could be valid. I'm not even saying they're invalid. And then when you get pressed on it because of the firestorm and the bleep storm that you started, you run away from it and avoid the question. Have that same energy. That's what I would say. You brought this upon yourself. So now the question becomes, is he going to stay at Maryland? Like, is he doing this to just have them make him, and I know they've already made him an offer, but give him everything that he wants to keep him there? And I like Kevin Willard as a coach. Do I think that you need to give him everything in the kitchen sink to stay at Maryland? No, I don't. But to me, I think he's as good as gone. I would be shocked if he's not introduced whenever his team loses the following day as the next men's head basketball coach at Villanova, because from the Villanova standpoint, we've heard like five names on this job. Chris Collins, right, already got the new deal done. Then, right, there was some speculation about Richard Pitino. He already has accepted the job at Xavier. The other three names that you heard are Willard. You've also heard Porter Moser and Mick Cronin. Well, if they wanted Moser, if they wanted Mick Cronin, they could have already offered them the job, and they could have already accepted the job. They clearly want Kevin Willard. So Kevin has a decision to make, and the way that he's talking about it, I think if there was a way to rectify this, I believe you call a little attention to it, but he has jumped all the way into the deep end with this, and it's just obnoxious. Like, I've lost a lot of respect for Kevin Willard, who I liked at Seton Hall, had no problem with them at Maryland, but I've just lost a lot of respect for the way that he's handling this situation. I think it's low class. I really do. And can he go to Villanova? And can he go win a ton of games at Villanova? Yes, because guy's a good basketball coach. But don't start something and then run away from it when people push back at it. That's my problem with Kevin Willard. All righty, we'll come on back. We'll get to a news brief next. So this is Zach Gelbsch on the Infinity Sports Network. Here's Zach.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
My mouth is on fire. Oh my God. It's not because of my takes today, because sometimes those could be hot. But Ray Martell ordered pizza today because he needed to make up for an injustice last week with the dollar pizza place that he got. So he got really good pizza. He got a buffalo chicken pie, he got a pepperoni pie, and a plain pie. Now, I'm very particular with my buffalo chicken. You could mess up a buffalo chicken slice very easily. I open up the box there, and I said, ooh, that buffalo chicken looks good. So I just downed a slice during the break, and my mouth is hot right now. Alrighty, this portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance. In 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage, no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. I may need some life insurance after this pizza. My mouth is on fire right now. Alrighty, news brief time. Let's start things off with Adam Schefter. The Giants and Browns might move up to number one, according to Schefter on the ESPN.
I've also heard the Titans general manager Mike Borgonzi say that he's open to anything. And so he's going to be listening to phone calls. It doesn't mean that the Giants will be able to make it up to one, but I expect the Cleveland Browns and the New York Giants both to make calls, and let's see if there's a team that can come up with an offer that the Titans can't pass up.
Yeah, I just don't know if that Godfather offer is going to be there. Now, if you give a future one, I think you could get him. But if it's just swapping ones, like going from one to two or one to three, and you give up a three and a two or two threes, that doesn't do it for me if I'm Tennessee. If I'm Tennessee, I would take Cam Ward, I would. Here's Adam Schefter on ESPN Milwaukee. He says Aaron Rodgers is deciding between the Steelers and retirement.
They both need each other right now, frankly. And that's if Aaron wants to play, which I'm not convinced yet that he does. Until I hear him say, I want to play, then I can tell you people are asking that question about whether he wants to play. Like, it's come up. People have said to me, hey, are you sure he wants to play? No, I'm not sure. I'm hearing he might not want to play. It shouldn't be that hard. Like, either you want to play for the Steelers or you don't, right? Like, what are we waiting for?
Well, I would agree with Aaron Rodgers, Adam Schefter, that right now for Aaron Rodgers, it should be down to the Steelers or retirement. I still think it's going to be J.J. McCarthy in Minnesota. But yesterday, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah had numerous occasions to just emphatically say JJ is their guy and we are no longer pursuing Aaron Rodgers. And he kind of said both things, like, oh, that decision's out of my hands, but we love JJ. We hope he's our guy, blah, blah, blah. So here's Kwesi Adofo-Mensah cut two. Are they considering Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, and I understand that. Aaron Rodgers, you know, this organization has known for a long time on the opposing sideline, you know, talking about a great player, a Hall of Famer, so I understand that. I'll always say is it's our job as a personnel group to make sure we're aware of every potential option. Again, we're trying to make sure we solve for scenarios that we don't know could possibly happen. You know, we want to make sure that there's competition in the room to make sure that if you remember last offseason when JJ and Sam were really competing, that brought the best out of both of them. And so you want an environment that's like that, a supportive environment to also just challenge each other but grow and learn and all those different things. And so we're trying to solve for a lot of different things at once. And from all those conversations comes a list of names and maybe an order and an intentional plan on how to best solve for those things. So you know, a player like him, he's always going to be in those conversations. But, you know, from our, you know, delineations at that time, we're happy with where we are going forward. But, you know, obviously the caliber of player and just, you know, all our suggestions, we had to make our considerations.
Huh? Yes or no? You guys still in on Aaron Rodgers or you're not? Those delineations at this time, you know, at that time. Well, there could be a different time. So they're playing this game, and I wonder if Aaron just comes crawling to the Vikings and say, I'll basically play for pretty much free, and then maybe Minnesota changed their answer. I don't think the juice is worth the squeeze anymore with Aaron Rodgers, and when I say that, I mean on the field. I don't want people calling up and be like, yeah, hypocrite. I'm talking about on the field. I don't think he's a great quarterback anymore. Let's go to Cam Hayward. And by the way, Aaron Rodgers, if this ends with him retiring, what a disgrace. Like, I'm good with him retiring. I'm fine with him retiring. I would actually prefer him to retire. But if he actually does, with how long this has been dragged out, this would just be the ultimate drama move by Aaron Rodgers. Because then what would the conversation be? The moment an injury happens, ooh, that team called Aaron. Ooh, they bring in Aaron. It's like, I don't actually believe he's going to retire. Cam Hayward was on Good Morning Football on NFL Network. Remember, the other week, he was asked about Aaron Rodgers and a recruiting pitch that he would make, and he's like, I don't need to recruit Aaron Rodgers. We're the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? Like, that sells itself. Here's Cam Hayward clarifying his Aaron Rodgers comments.
Yes, it was misconstrued. From my point of view, I was asked the question, would you go to the lengths of going to a darkness retreat to recruit Aaron Rodgers? I said, I'm not doing that. The pitch is, if you want to be a Steeler, be a Steeler. That's all it was. It wasn't meant that I don't like Aaron Rodgers. I'm against it. When I look at our team right now, it would be really cool to have a guy like Aaron Rodgers, but I can't be the guy who gets it over the finish line. I think he's got to make those decisions for himself, but, you know, excited to see what happens.
All righty. Like, I didn't think Cam Hayward was in an easy spot there. And I kind of got what he was saying at the time when you listened to the whole clip, but he felt like he'd have to clarify this. All right, this I love. Will Campbell. The short arms are absolutely ridiculous. Who ever talked about the short arms when you saw this monster play at LSU? And I mean that in a good way, because he was a monster on the football field, just mauling people. Here is Will Campbell at the LSU Pro Day talking about the short arms criticism.
For 2 years, nobody had any measurements on me, and nobody said anything about my play. So now all of a sudden, an arm length decides if I'm a good player or not. I think it's BS. But, you know, any decision makers in the NFL, they don't really care. It's all, you know, people who don't coach, and they don't coach for a reason.
That sounds like a badass. I don't know. I hear that guy, I feel like he could maul it in the trenches for 10 years. That was, you could say what you want about me. I don't give a bleep, bleep you. You don't know what you're talking about. I like that from Will Campbell. All right, let's go to my guy, Coach Prime. He was on the Skip Bayless show. And he was asked about on where Shedeur Sanders could get drafted.
Shedeur has told me, he's talked to me intently about all the visits he's had with all the teams, so I know where his heart is. I know where he wants to go. If it's New York, it's New York. If it's Tennessee, if it's Cleveland, if it's still the Raiders, if it's New Orleans, if it's any of those teams that are seeking a quarterback, I'm happy with it, man, because I know what he's going to do to the organization. I know what he's going to do.
Samter, I'll just ask you this question. There was always this thought that Coach Prime was basically going to call him, try to pull a Manning family and basically force the destination of where Shedeur was going. It doesn't seem like that has happened yet. I know there was that one erroneous quote that, like, he said that, oh, well, let's hope it's New York. We really want it to be New York, but I guess that wasn't true. And Coach Prime has since refuted that. But I'm kind of happy that Coach Prime went about it this way. And now he's really just saying, wherever he goes, I'm going to be happy. I believe in my son.
I mean, I wonder if it would have been different with a different team. Like, maybe if it was the Pats. Or, like, maybe there are certain teams that he didn't want him to go to.
Just, like, Cleveland. Why would you want to go to Cleveland?
Yeah.
Nothing against, I like Cleveland. But, like,
no, you're
wouldn't
right.
That be the team?
You're right. I mean,
or even the Giants, both of them. I know they have Malik Nabers and it's New York. Yeah. But both those franchises have been a clown show.
Maybe Deion just has, like, something against a certain franchise or two from his playing days, and it's not as much about the Mannings believing in the franchise. It's just like, I don't want him to play for those guys.
Yeah. So, well, you have some at the top of this draft that I would think would be on the no-fly list, and they haven't been so far. So I like that approach from Coach Prime. Alrighty, that's the news brief. It is Zach Gelb showing the Infinity Sports Network. Got about a minute 30 here. Let's go to Jamar in Pennsylvania next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Jamar, go ahead.
Gelby, first-time caller, big fan.
Appreciate it.
Just wanted to say, what are we doing here?
You're a Steelers fan, so let me ask you this. What are you going to do if it's not Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, at this point, I say definitely don't reach for a quarterback in the first round. Been there, done that with Kenny Smallhands. Give me a playmaker first round, wide receiver, running back, and then I guess we roll with Rudolph. I mean, what do?
I would sign Aaron Rodgers. This is my thing with the Steelers. I think the Steelers' standard has fallen. They're, to me, not a team that I look at as a Super Bowl contender, but they're still a good team. You need a quarterback for 1 year. I would go with Aaron Rodgers. Mason Rudolph, I've already been there, done that. Mason Rudolph's not a good quarterback. Now, if you play Mason Rudolph, maybe you guys fall off, and I appreciate the phone call, the kind words. I'm just up against it, Jamar. You know, maybe you guys fall off, and you're actually picking close in the top 10, but I don't think the Steelers are ever going to be bad enough under Tomlin when they're in the top 10 just because of what their record is. Like maybe they trade up like the Devin Bush stuff and things like that. But you got Pickens, you got Metcalf, Warren. At this point, I think what Schefter said is right. Rodgers needs the Steelers, and the Steelers need Aaron Rodgers. So it's messy. It's dramatic right now. But what else are the Steelers going to do? If your answer is Mason Rudolph, that gives your answer. Robbie Hummel going to join us next.